Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 through 23, accepting the point of no return and facing God's judgment. The idea that God will severely punish sin in his wrath is a hard subject for many people to accept today. Our Puritan forefathers certainly had a healthy respect for the wrath of God, but there's been a tendency in Christendom to kind of do away with that kind of a God and have a wrathless deity. The problem with that is it doesn't deal with the issue of justice. So the popular belief is a deity who has no wrath against anyone, that God is only a God of compassion. However, Ezekiel chapter 14, 12 to 23 presents the inevitability of God's judgment regardless if sinners involved are not convinced that God's judgment will actually fall. So we view this passage for our instruction and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we will look at them. Ezekiel chapter 14, 12 through the end of the chapter. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but only their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome or troublesome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They alone shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. If I bring a sword upon that land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I will cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a disease into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the dangerous beast and the disease to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth to you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the calamity that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you will know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. Okay. As background to this section, we recall Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 to 33, where Abraham bartered, in a way. He bartered God in behalf of his nephew Lot and family who lived in Sodom for God to spare their lives, though he would destroy the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord let Abraham barter him down to not destroying Sodom, where just 10 upright people to be found there. We don't practice bartering that much in our country. We do. If you want to go to a used car lot, you'll probably barter. The salesman will start at a higher price, and you'll start with a lower price, and you see if you can barter him down and so forth. In the ancient Near East, what you would do is the seller would start high, the buyer would start low, and the seller would come down and the buyer would come up, and where they met, that's where the transaction occurred. But God was very gracious. Abraham says, if there are, 40 people in the city, will you destroy? And God said, I won't for 40. And then Abraham says, what if there are but 30 and so forth? And God let him come all the way down to 10. And then when he got down to 10, then God went his way. He didn't let him do it any further. So God is a very gracious barterer. He lets everybody else move him down. However, signaling that Judah's sin exceeded that of Sodom and Gomorrah, God told his prophet Ezekiel that if a nation sins against the Lord, acting faithlessly and turning from him to false idols, God responded by breaking its food supply to send a famine on man and animals. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the land, these giants of righteousness would deliver only themselves, not the rest of the land. Remember who Noah was? Noah with the ark. He was a godly man. He built the ark and he saved his family and himself. But the rest of the world was destroyed. Daniel was a man who also saved people. He saved the wise men of Babylon when he was able to interpret and come up with a dream and interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Job interceded with God for his three friends, the three friends who were with him who sinned against the Lord, and Job saved them. So these were very righteous men in their day, and the Lord listened to them. Now, God's reference to these three men on the subject of his punishment rises from the fact that each righteous man had overcome some diversity in terms of God's punishment to save others. In other words, these men had interceded for other people. Righteous Noah was able to save only his immediate family from judgment in the flood when he built the ark. Righteous Daniel saved his friends from judgment when God gave him prophetic insight into the king's dream and could interpret it so that Babylon's wise men could not be slain. It's interesting, Nebuchadnezzar was very concerned that he get a true interpretation of his dream, so he refused to tell the wise men what the dream was. They were going to have to figure it out on their own. And the rest of the wise men in Babylon says, King, how can anybody do this? And the king got mad. He says, no, you have to come up with a dream. So Daniel, of course, went to the Lord, and the Lord gave him wisdom as to what the dream had been, and then he gave him the interpretation thereof. And of course, when Daniel did that, he saved the lives of all the wise men of Babylon, including his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as the rest of the Babylonian men. Job was a righteous man who interceded for his three friends to save them from God's wrath after his own deep trials. Well, the Lord then added that if he caused wild animals to pass through the land under judgment to ravage it, so that it would be unsafe for anyone to pass through it, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the land, they would not deliver even their own children, but themselves alone. Now, this is something. You would want to save your own child, your own children. And in the case of Lot, God was gracious to Abraham, and he saved Lot, and he also saved Lot's family. Now, Lot's sons-in-laws didn't want to come. They were Sodomites and so forth. But his daughters came. His wife only, she looked back, and so she turned into a pillar of salt. But in this situation, this sin of Jerusalem and Judah is so severe, these men would not be able to save even their own families if they were to intercede for them. So the severity of this judgment contrasts with the lesser severity of Lot and his family. God's angel saved Lot's daughters while losing his wife, who was turned into a pillar of salt when she sinfully looked back at Sodom. Remember, as they were leaving Sodom, they were supposed to go and not look back. But Lot's wife looked back longingly for the city, which is a city of great wickedness, and she was judged to be turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters kept going. Well, God then declared that if he brought a sword on the land of judgment, bringing an invading army to pass through the land to destroy both man and beast. When Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the land, they would not be able to deliver their children by interceding for them. All they would save would be themselves alone. The Lord added that if he sent an epidemic in the land under his punishment and poured out his wrath on it with blood so as to slay both man and animal, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would not be able to deliver even their children, but themselves alone. Well, having established the fact that God's judgment was more sure on Israel than even the judgment of wicked Sodom and Gomorrah of antiquity, the Lord predicted more severity in Israel's judgment when God sent on it the four disasters of sword, famine, wild animals, and disease to destroy both man and beast. Now, at this point, people might think, wow, God is being awfully severe. He's more severe on his own people than he was on wicked Sodom and Gomorrah. But lest one think God's judgment was too severe on his people. The Lord predicted that were the few survivors of the Babylonian invasion of Judah to arrive in Babylon among the other captives who had preceded them there, the Babylonian captives would be consoled regarding Jerusalem's disaster when they beheld the great wickedness of the land's few survivors. See, God is going to allow a few survivors to come into Babylon. And when they got there, the people would recognize how wicked they were. And their practices and the way of thinking and everything was atrocious. Then they would say, okay, God was just. He had to destroy our brethren back there because they had gone from bad to worse. So the Hebrews in captivity would then realize that God had not leveled a severe judgment on the land of Israel without just cause, but that he had fairly punished them for their great wickedness. So he said in verse 23, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. So Israel's sin so exceeded that of even ancient Sodom and Gomorrah that unlike Abraham, who could barter God to deliver those cities if just 10 righteous people were left in them, even righteous Noah, Daniel, and Job would not be able to intercede to deliver their own children, but only themselves from God's judgment on Israel. Indeed, the great evil of Israel's survivors would vindicate God in his leveling such severe punishment. So in application, there is a point of no return with God regarding sin. In fact, the Bible tells us that even as a believer can sin to the point of physical death, where the Lord takes a believer home in premature physical death. That's a severe sin. But there is a point where his wrath will be expressed, so we need to repent of any and all sin for blessing. And then may we accept God's punishment as always being fair and just. Many years ago, I heard of a story of a man in Africa. I don't know what nation he was in. He was an African. He was a Christian. And his son had died, and they had buried his son. And at the graveside, all of a sudden, the man flung himself down in the grave, and he wept aloud, and he said, "You cannot cheat God. If you cheat God, he will deal with you and punish you." And he was grieving over the fact that the Lord had burdened him about his need to repent of a sin, a serious sin that he'd committed some time before. And he'd put it off. He refused. And the death of his son was a culmination of a series, apparently, of situations. And it became a tremendous testimony to the rest of the people. And the rest of the people of his particular tribe, who were believers, of course, they realized from this man's testimony that when dealing with God, we're dealing with a God who is very righteous, is very holy, he's very separate from sin, and we have to be very, very careful that we revere him and obey him. God is compassionate. He is very slow to anger. He's very long-suffering, but there is a limit. And when we reach that limit, of course, then the hammer falls. So we need to revere God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, or the respect for God, is a starting point of wisdom. What our world has today is a noticeable lack of respect for God. That's why we have problems in our country. We need to get back to that. And it can always start with us as believers.